This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Darek Fitica was paralyzed after being stabbed in the back by an attacker 4 years ago. But now he can walk again with the help of a walker. He drives, he goes hunting with his friends, and he's regained some sexual function and sensation in his bladder and bowels. All thanks to a pioneering transplant into his spine using strips of nerve from his ankle and cells from his olfactory bulb in his nose. What's so special about nose cells that would help bridge his spinal injury? One of the project's leaders is here to discuss that. Professor Jeffrey Raisman is the chair of neural regeneration at the Institute of Neurology, Queen's Square at University College London. He joins us from London from the BBC. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the patient. What sort of damage did he have to his spine that you had to repair?
Well, the repair was done by my neurosurgical colleagues in Poland. The damage was a knife cut in the middle of his chest.
And you use something called olfactory ensheathing cells here. What are those, and why do you use them to repair the spine? Give us an idea of what you did.
Well, the problem with spinal cord injury is that nerve fibers have been cut. And after they have been cut, they can't grow back. In the nose, and it's the only part of the nervous system we know, when nerve fibers are cut, or indeed they are replaced, they grow back. So the concept was to take something from a part of the nervous system, the only one we know where nerve fibers can grow, and transplant that something into a part of the nervous system, the spinal cord, where nerve fibers do not grow when they're cut.
Mm-hmm. Now, and how successful were you? Did it completely repair the break in the spinal cord?
No, you can't say it completely repaired. We have some return of function, which is probably due to a very small number of nerve fibers managing to find their way across the transplanted cells and the bridge of nerve. And the patient has to learn and work very hard over long periods to learn how to use those that small number of fibers that we have given him back.
Mm-hmm. If you had put more fibers in, could theoretically you have more function?
Well, theoretically is something difficult to say with one patient,
yeah.
But we assume that the better the repair, the more fibers would have grown and the better the functional return.
Mm-hmm. You used pieces of nerve from his ankle to bridge the gap in his spine. Would the operation have worked without these strips of nerve?
I don't think it would. The operation is based on years of work in rats, where we looked at very small injuries and we could completely bridge the injuries with the number of olfactory ensheathing cells we could get. In the case of Darek, we had a small number of olfactory ensheathing cells, quite insufficient to bridge the injury.
Mm-hmm.
So the surgeon had to make a decision at operation. I haven't got enough cells to bridge. Can I use something else as well? So the surgeon's idea was to add the nerve strips to the transplantation of olfactory ensheathing cells. It's the fourth in a series of patients, and the first one where that maneuver was carried out, and the first one where function has returned.
Mm. And so you will be trying this, I imagine, in other patients.
Well, this is the first patient. You wouldn't be reporting it as news if it was the sixth or the seventh. Because it's the first patient, unless we repeat it, that's all it is. So it's vital for this to be repeated in more than one center, if we can arrange that, and also to be monitored by international and independent monitors.
Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated about the nose cells that you were talking about. The nose cells are the only, these sheathing cells are the only nerves in the body that spontaneously regenerate themselves because they're damaged by stuff that gets in your nose all the time?
Well, We've been saying that for some time, but very recently, in the last months, it's been shown that the reason, one of the advantages of nerve fibres turning over in the nose is that we change our perception of smell, so we can learn new smells as a result of new odours, as a result of this turnover. So, for example, you can educate your nose to different wines, different vintages. This is an education process. And I think that is the, one of the reasons, if you can use the word reason, mm-hmm. that is one of the reasons that this part of the nervous system is in a state of continuous change.
To keep re-educating your nose.
Yes, to keep re-educating your sense of smell so you will be able to tell the difference between a claret of 1987 and a claret of 1988.
I'll drink to that. is that what's going on in the spinal repair? Are you re-educating the cells, the nerve cell, the nose cells there to know where to go?
No. The cells that we're transplanting, my hypothesis is what I have called the pathway hypothesis. Mm-hmm. You have to think of the nervous system as a series of nerve fibers running along pathways. These cells provide the pathway. So when you transplant them into the spinal cord injury, it is as though you're repairing a roadway, a motorway. Once you've repaired the motorway, the nerve fibers which have been cut detect that repair, grow out, explore it, grow out along it, and cross along it. So these are road repairing cells.
Interesting. So that's why they work better than putting regular wires in there, because they recognize the nose cells as being part of their own body?
Yes, indeed. They do more than make a bridge. Because when there's an injury, the tissue on either side scars over. It's a protective response. These cells act as door openers. They open that scar so that the nerve fibers can get in and out. This is what we've seen in our rat work. And once the fibers get in and out, they then look for the bridge of nerve strips that have been placed there.
So that's one of the keys then, is stimulating the nerves to get out again and search for that bridge.
That isn't the way I look at it. I began this in the beginning, Bereshis, as quoted by St. Paul. In the beginning was an idea. And that idea was that nerve fibers are growing all the time and changing their connections. In other words, that our brains and spinal cord, our nervous system, is alive. That's how we learn. It continually changes. That's how we remember. That's how we forget. So the concept of going to the spinal cord when it was cut was that the nerve fibers are ready to grow. It's just like cars in a traffic jam. They can't get through. They're trying to get through. They know where to go. They know what their destination is. They know what their purpose is. But you have to provide them with the pathway. That's why I call it the pathway hypothesis.
But it's still a hypothesis.
Absolutely. Everything we can say about nature is a hypothesis. The question is not whether we understand it. The question is whether we can get people out of wheelchairs by doing it.
Right. If it works, just try it out, in other words.
I don't know. I can be wrong. But the rat work has led to this. The pattern of recovery in this patient suggests that nerve fibers are growing. I can be wrong about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't have the right to stop now. We may have in our hands, in front of us, a way of getting people out of wheelchairs. We don't have the right to stop doing it. We have to follow this.
So what do you say to all these people? And I'm sure your emails must be ringing off the hook with people who want to know more about how they can get involved, or loved ones of theirs who are paralyzed can get involved with this. What do you say to them?
I say you're going to have to wait. This is one patient. We have tried two different things in him, as you heard. Mm-hmm. We've tried two different, one thing on one half of the spinal cord, one thing on the other. The next patients are going to be investigations of how to improve this. Can we repeat it? Until that point, until we can convince people that this is a way of repairing it, no one else is going to take it up.
Earlier this...
Go ahead. My estimation is that we need 3 to 5 years to either repeat and confirm our ideas or prove ourselves wrong. We'll need 3 to 5 years. At the end of that point, I hope we will, if we're right, we will demonstrate that this is a way of doing it. And that's as far as we can go, because then it's out in the world and, please God, it will be done everywhere.
Earlier this year, we talked with researcher Susan Harkema about her technique using electrical stimulation to help broken spinal cords transmit messages again. Does this fit in with that model that she did, or is there some synergy
here?
Yes,
it does. Certainly. Most injuries of the spinal cord are partial. That is, by saying that, there is some tissue which remains. The sort of approach of Susan Harkema and many others is to enable that remaining tissue to resume some function. Hmm. And I think that's what is demonstrated. Hmm. Now, there will be most patients are of that type. There will be improvements by that method. But those improvements we must expect are going to be limited by the fact that a large part of the spinal tissue is not remaining and has to be bridged. So once all improvements that can be produced by such manoeuvres, once that has been achieved, then the only future for further improvement is the kind, at the moment, the only one we know is the kind of repair I'm describing.
Well, Professor Raisman, we've got to go, but I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. And good
thank
luck
you
to
so
you.
Much.
We'll be watching the research. Jeffrey Raisman is chair of the Neural Regeneration at the Institute of Neurology, Queen Square, University College London.